Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a special episode for you all today. We'll be back later this week with recaps of The Real Housewives. But for now, I have one of my best friends, Hannah Brown. Hannah, not from the Bachelor world, a different Hannah Brown. Hannah, how are you today?
Oh my gosh, I'm great, Danny. Thank you so much for having me.
And I got to say, you were supposed to come on during the holiday season. We had to reschedule. There's so much going on. But this is the last episode I'm recording from this apartment. And they are doing construction. So I just have to say, I know listeners are probably tired of me talking about the fucking construction here. But I got to just mention, in case you're banging, this will be the last time ever you'll hear the banging, hopefully.
Mention it all.
Hannah, happy new year.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Danny. Happy new year to you.
And we're going to talk about the New Jersey trailer, and then we're going to just do a little bit of a recap of 2021. Mm-hmm. Before we do, though, I got to mention that you were in a movie called The Housewives of the North Pole, and I wanted to have you on to promote that and everything, but you have the best line in the whole film. And so I just want to congratulate you and also ask for any tea about the filming.
Oh my gosh, Danny, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the movie. Yeah, it was really fun. I filmed it over the summer. And it was like, I couldn't say anything about it. So it was like really hard because so many of my like close friends, you included, are like Bravo fans. And so I was like, ooh. But yeah, it was fun. I didn't unfortunately get to see any of the housewives, but it was cool. I did share a call sheet with a couple of them. So it was like, I didn't get to, you know, see them, but I was like, oh, we're shooting on the same day. That's really cool.
There were like these fun surprise Housewives cameos in it that were really, really fun. So I enjoyed that. And also we got to tell the listeners a story. So we went to the premiere of the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which was, they did this whole outdoor showing and they had Eileen Davidson come out because also for the holiday season, you know what I'm going to say, right? So we were sitting there and they had all the housewives from the Ultimate Girls Trip there introducing the series. And then they did a little Q&A and whatever. And then they bring out Eileen Davidson, who used to be on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she introduces that they're doing a Days of Our Lives holiday special for the Peacock. And then Kyle also came out and said she's doing the Housewives of the North Pole and everything. And so when Eileen Davidson came out, we were laughing so hard because it was like a very Valerie Cherish moment from the comeback. Mm-hmm. And the whole crowd is erupting in cheers because no one had expected Eileen to show up. So everyone's super excited. She's like, hey guys, you know, I'm here to promote Days of Our Lives. We're doing a holiday special. And she's like, and one of the really cool things is it's on Peacock and it's a streamer. So we can swear and there's nudity. And she's like, and I'll be nude. And everyone like claps because she was doing an they thought that. She didn't know what to say. She was improvising the whole moment.
Riffing. Yeah.
Just riffing for the audience. And so she riffs and says, I'm going to be nude. And then everyone claps.
And then she like walks it back and goes, I'm also in this movie. Not nude.
Not nude. Not actually nude. Like not right nude. After everyone had clapped for it. And it was the most awkward, like 20 seconds I've ever seen. Like, no, not nude. Not actually going to be nude. Nope.
Well, and then I had my own Valerie Cherish moment after that because I went up to Kyle when she was clearly on her way out and like wanted to go home. And I was like, hey, I have four lines in The Housewives of the North Pole. So we're in a movie together. And she was like, oh, that's really nice. Cool. And like, she was so gracious and polite. But I was literally like, I walked away and I was like, that was so like desperate Valerie Cherish being like, Judah, baby girl.
It was awkward too because yeah, all the Ultimate Girls Trip housewives were there, but it was like they kind of all had bodyguards or something. And it wasn't like a big giant party. I mean, it wasn't like there were so many people there. And so it was sort of weird to me that none of them wanted to like mix with the crowd or anything.
I know. Like, well, I'm like, we'll be respectful.
Although I wasn't very respectful when I saw Tori Spelling at the event. I think I threw everyone out of the way.
Okay, but she was so nice. I love Tori Spelling.
It was so nice to you, but I was like trying to get in and you had like worked with her or something. And so you were like, Tori, I worked on this thing. And so Tori was like talking to you about this thing you worked on. And I'm just like, Tori, remember Donna Martin Graduates? Like, I just wanted to talk about 90210. and she was just talking to you. And I'm like, Hannah, get out of here.
Ow, Danny, you shoved me out of the way.
Trying to talk to Tori Spelling about her gay independent film called Trick.
An icon.
Oh, but it was so funny. I'll never forget the Eileen Davidson. I'm going to be nude. Nope, not really nude. Nope, not I'm nude. Not actually nude. Nope.
Not nude.
It was so awkward. I loved it. I loved it. Hannah, the Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer came out yes. just as we were about to sit down to record this. And I frantically texted you and said, you need to watch it so we can talk about it. So let's yes. discuss. Did you enjoy it?
I did. So I dropped off of Jersey last season. It was like the Teresa Jackie fight. I was like, this is stupid. And I just was so bored that I dropped off. But this trailer was juicy. Like, I might have to dive back in, to be honest. What did you think?
It looked good to me. It looked like there's that whole Marge versus Teresa seems like it's going to be a season long thing. Mm-hmm. And Louis, her new boyfriend, you know, there's wonderings. There are people are concerned that he might be a grifter or something. And so we're going to have to see. But I feel like it's going to be a good season. I'm a little concerned. I love the cast and I think they've done a great job, but I'm concerned that there is no turnover with the cast, like, because I don't want them to rest on their laurels. And the trailer looks amazing. Like, they're not going to do that, but concerned about it. And I think they need to keep bringing fresh people in and they need to turn it over a little bit. I don't know. It concerns
me. I know.
Me.
I know. I'm with you, because sometimes you just need new blood to spice things up.
Yeah, just like a little change. It does look like Jackie and Jennifer are friends. And I'm interested in that dynamic because they've always been sort of enemies on the show. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it also looks like Dolores gets engaged. And I always feel like I love Dolores, but she's just sort of always there to say, you're right, Teresa. And so I'm excited for Dolores to get in the mix, it seems.
Yeah, wait, is she still with David?
No, apparently. I was just reading on the blogs, the courts of record, that she is now dating someone new who looks like an older version of her son. Like, there's one photo of Dolores with this topless man on the beach, and he really does look like Frankie Jr.
Well, I mean, I know this is like a creepy thing to say, but like, Frankie Jr. is like an objectively hot person. So if she sure. found an older version of Frankie that she's not related to, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird though, isn't it?
I mean, yes.
A little bit. A little
yes.
bit.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, like, I thought David was such a toe of a person. Like, I'm so happy she's not with him anymore.
Yeah. He was a big old wet blanket.
He was. And he was such a dick to her. And I was like, in what world, like, is someone dating Dolores and they don't appreciate her for the queen she is? She's so fucking hot.
Yeah, she's so hot.
Did you see that? Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Did you see... I saw this on, I believe, Mani's story that, like, Joe Gorga had commented on Dolores's, like, Instagram photo just saying, like, sexy. And I'm like, Joe Gorga, like, weird. Yeah, why would you do that?
I find the men in Jersey to be both entertaining and very bizarre. Like, Dolores's ex-husband, we've all just accepted the fact that he's a cast member on this show. But, like, I often think, where would he and Dolores be without the TV show? Because I don't actually believe that they would be as close as they present them to us
yeah.
if he wasn't a cast member on the show. But it's like they're exes, but and I know they're co-parenting. I don't believe that it would be so copacetic between the two of them. And now they're just like this dynamic duo because people latched onto that relationship. And even the first time Dolores was on the series, like when she first became a cast member, I don't think her ex-husband was really that big of a deal. But then they did like one scene with him where they were getting along and they're like, oh, now let's lean in. And so now they have to hang out every fucking night.
Right.
I find it strange.
That's a fair question. Yeah. Like, where would they be without the show? Because it is a very unnatural relationship they have. I mean, good for them, but.
Yeah. I love Jennifer's daughter. And in the trailer, there's this moment where she jumps in the pool and she's like, I'm an eagle. And she
does
this,
like,
this
yes.
thing. And I just relate to her so much. Like, she's got the joie de vivre. Is that what it's called?
Yes. I love Olivia. Like, truly, like, if I someday choose to be a mom and my kid's like not like Olivia, I'll be like, I don't know what to do with this person.
Right. I know. You know? She's just got a unique and fun and lovely personality.
She's so cute.
And just she really pops on camera. You know, she does. People have the it factor and some don't.
Give her a spinoff. You know what I mean?
The other girls too, Teresa's girls are getting in the mix. Yes. They are fighting with Joe Gorga. And I don't know. They're looking for I would say they're looking for an apple, but they don't hold anything in the intro.
Which is weird to me. We got to give them something. I mean, I would like a meatball. That'd
right,
be cute.
Right. I've heard a lot of people say like a tomato, but that would be weird. But I want it. It would be weird.
And we need it. Yeah. I mean, also this storyline that Therese is going to start playing like saxophone and her kids are going to make fun of her. I'm interested in that.
But don't you love the like dynamics of her brain? Because I think all the housewives, they go into a season and they got to plan out a storyline, like a personal storyline. And oftentimes they don't realize they don't even really need to do that because maybe they have something else going on. Like Teresa's got this new man and she probably didn't need a plan like anything else. But instead somebody thought it was a good idea. Like, let's lean into you playing the saxophone. Like that'll be, how about you learn sax on camera?
Yeah.
And then we'll use that and that'll be your personal storyline. But it's like, that wasn't needed because she's getting in all these feuds and she's got the Louis situation and everything.
We need the sax bits. And then the idea of Teresa being like, that's a great idea. I'm going to do it. Dragging out her saxophone in a big heavy case.
That's a good Teresa.
Oh my God. Thank you. Maybe I'll do a video of her. I bought like a long, like dark brown wig many moons ago thinking I'm going to do so many Jersey videos. And then I just like, it's in a closet. I didn't do any. So maybe this is the year. Maybe
this is the 2022.
Yeah.
When we were moving and packing, I found so many fucking wigs. You know, I did Groundlings for years and it was like, we had to have so many wigs and I literally organized a box. So now I have all my wigs in a nice bin for easy access. And then this was funny. I was like doing like another bin that was costumes, which it's not like I'm doing tons of sketches on my social media or anything anymore, but I found like all this Dorinda stuff. Cause I did like a sketch as Dorinda. So I found like this lipstick and these Dorinda earrings and my Dorinda wig. And I'm like, we need Dorinda back because that was the most fun one to do.
Yes. And may I request that you bring back, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck's going on? We need drunk Dorinda, which I think is coming in that new Ultimate Girls Trip. She's going to be wasted.
Ex-Housewives edition or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
I think Bluestone
Manor.
That is the most genius idea for a TV show. Like I'm horny just thinking about it.
There's that one photo of the cast and Dorinda, she looks so drunk and she's not wearing any shoes or socks. Like they took this photo outside and I saw someone on Twitter and forgive me, I don't remember who tweeted it, but they said even her feet look drunk. Because her feet are like, the toes are like weirdly overlapping. They're like weirdly. It's like, how did her feet get that way? And I'll never forget, there was a photo of Dorinda and Margaret. Like Margaret visited Dorinda's Bluestone Manor. And there was a photo where I think they had like Photoshopped it or tried to Facetune it or something. And like, it looks like they're just missing toes. And it's always so funny to me because the housewives, oftentimes they hire social media people. And I don't think they're hiring the same caliber of person that like Reese Witherspoon is hiring for social media. And so oftentimes we just get an Instagram post where it looks like Margaret Josephs doesn't have her feet there. Like she's just suddenly, they accidentally face-tuned out her feet.
God, I love like a Photoshop fuck up. I think they're the funniest things in the world. TikTok, there's like a whole like swath of TikToks where it's just people finding Photoshop fuck ups. And that's like made its way into my algorithm. And I'm so thrilled.
I love that. Yeah. I had talked about on Thanksgiving, somebody thought I was wearing a crop top and I talked about it on the show. And then people were sending me their pictures where it looks like this one girl sent me one where it looks like she's like squeezing her mom's belly, like it's so funny. And it's not, it was like, you know, yeah, they're all just so funny. I love it.
So funny.
Hannah, I want to run through some headlines and some important pop culture moments from 2021. I know we're in 2022. But listeners out there, we're recording this in 2021 because Danny needed a little break and breather.
Dan the man needed some time to himself.
We needed some time, you know, a lot going on. Okay, so I want to run through some of these and we'll just talk about them. We got 16. This is from a website called Cafe Mom. So a mother at a cafe, perhaps, or just the name of the site.
I love that for her. It's
Have you heard of Cafe Mom?
No, but when I think of a mom with a cafe, I think of Love in season 3 of You.
Oh.
Do you watch You?
Yeah, but I haven't watched the most recent. I didn't watch season 3.
Well, spoiler alert, she opens a bakery.
Oh my God, you ruined it. Now I don't need to. Now what's the point of watching it now?
You're like, well, fuck Hannah.
Yeah.
wait, sorry, really quick. Are you excited for Emily in Paris to come back so that you can take the internet by storm by making fun of her once again?
I hope so. Yes. I mean, yes, I'm very excited for us to be watching that. However, it will have already been out by the time people listen to this. So we'll have to get back together again to do an Emily in Paris because I'm sure it'll be batshit. I'm sure.
For sure. Also, like, I just have a problem with the way they're styling her hair and I just need to get that off my chest. The curls are not separated. So it looks sort of like a founding father. Like, it's just these perfect curls in a way where I'm like, I'm not a fan. Like, you need to zhuzh it. And if I were Lily Collins, like, no offense to whoever does her hair, but I would probably go rogue and be a bad actor and be like, I'm just going to zhuzh this a little. And they would be like, the continuity! Right. It's probably why I'm not working as much. But I didn't do that on Housewives of the North Pole because the person who did my hair did a great job at zhuzhing it herself.
Yeah. Well, anyways. You know, you need a good hair and makeup person. And Emily and Paris should have one. They're nominated for Best Comedy in the Emmys or all the awards, which doesn't make any sense to me. That really gnaws at my craw.
Yeah, it really frosts my fanny as well.
It's just weird. It's like it's not the funniest or anything. It's truly horrific. We all loved every moment of it, but it's not good.
It's not good.
I know. It makes me upset. Okay, this list from Cafe Mom. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Important pop culture moments from 2021. Mm-hmm. Things that we haven't had a chance to talk about on this podcast. So first is Olivia Rodrigo hits it big. What are your thoughts?
Here's a fun fact about me. I don't like music that's a bummer. And so I think Olivia Rodrigo is like so talented, adorable. I'm thrilled for her that her career is popping off. I am never going to sit down and listen to an Olivia Rodrigo song because I don't like being sad. Yeah.
Bold sentence.
I don't sit down and listen to like recreational Adele, Olivia Rodrigo, like no thanks. And again, mad respect, but I'm not going to be like, you know, it would be fun to sit down and cry today.
I do that and sit down and cry, but I actually wasn't able to really get into the Adele album. You know, I keep thinking like maybe down the line I'll listen to it. And I loved Easy on Me, but the rest of it, and I like that song where she cries to her therapist.
Oh my God, there's a song where she cries to her therapist. I'll listen to that one.
Oh my God, yeah. It's like, my little love. And like she's singing about her kid. And she literally plays voice memos about her anxiety and also talking to her child. And it is dark. Have you not heard this song? It's called My Little Love.
I've heard of it, but I didn't know there were voice memos in it about her anxiety. Hannah,
it is literally, it's so good, but I can't, no one should listen to it. Like it's just too much. Like there's literally a voice mail. Here, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play a little bit. We're going to get rogue here.
Oh, footage. Tell me, do you
feel the way my past days? See, it's beautiful. She's singing to the kid. I just want to get to a point where she sings about the therapy. I don't know how to fast forward on my Spotify. Let's all just vibe for a moment. Yeah. Adele and the sounds of construction in the back. I do love it. Mama's got a lot to learn. Okay, we're done. But I do also sing that lyric, Mama's got a lot to learn. But did you hear that was literally a voice note. Oh, this construction. There was literally a voice note of her telling her son about loving this kid's dad who she's no longer with. Like, it's pretty deep stuff.
Yeah, and it's heavy.
The mechanics of it, like, did she hit record on her voice thing and then, like, sit the kid down and was like, I'm going to tell you about our dad and why we got divorced.
You know, I really respect this idea for an album. I think it's really cool. Also, as a child of divorce, I'm like, there's shit that I don't want to know about my parents' divorce. Like, I feel like there's a line with that kind of stuff, too, where I'm like, I just hope her future kid is like down for all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful and artistic. It's just like, yeah. Do we really all need to like sit and listen to that? Like, that's so heavy.
It feels like intrusive almost. Like, should I be listening to this? Yeah.
Yeah. So I did listen to that song on repeat when it came out. Moving on, Taylor Swift, her epic song All Too Well came out. 10 minutes. It hit number one. I loved it.
I All loved Too it Well. Too. I loved it too. And I'm not, I really enjoy Taylor Swift music, but like Red is not, I'm more of like pop Taylor fan and I don't claim to be a Swiftie. So I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this 10 minute version don't of All plan. Too.
You don't plan to be a Swiftie?
Oh, I don't
claim that what you
to
said?
Be. Oh, okay. I thought maybe I did say that. I don't claim to be a Swiftie, but yeah, I loved it and I loved the video. I thought the video was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I was shocked that it was a 10-minute song that I kept wanting to listen to over and over again. And I think it's interesting, like on the radio, songs have gotten so short because they want the radio to play them. So now right. songs are like under 3 minutes. And so I thought it was fascinating that a 10-minute song became a hit. And then I hope it makes people realize like we don't have to have a song that's 2 minutes. We can have a longer song.
If it's good, you can add all the minutes you want. Now, listen, this is a controversial thing to say, but like when old bands like Led Zeppelin is like, it's a 15-minute song. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You don't like, why are you riffing on your guitar for like 25 minutes? Like, I don't care. But if Taylor does it, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I imagine a world where we're going to be getting these long songs and they will just be voicemails like that Adele song. So it'll just be like people just incorporating them in.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. I actually feel differently. I think I'm more of the country music Taylor fan. Like I really loved like country. And then when it was like a slow, I liked the early slow morph into pop. And then I didn't like when it got fully pop. Mm. Except for I love 1989, that album.
Oh, so good.
But I prefer like I loved like Back to December and like that kind of White Horse. And I like the a country, almost country ballad.
Yes. So you probably liked Red and like Fearless.
Yeah. Do you remember when Shania Twain released like two versions of Up, her album?
No.
She released like a red version and a green version. One was more poppy and one was more country, but it was basically, it was the same songs, but like one would have just like a string guitar in it. And then the other, and then the other would go electric. It was like almost the exact same.
I love that idea. She gave Taylor the idea, probably.
Yeah, Shania Twain started it all. There's a song on that album called Jealous. I'm Jealous. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. Oh my God. Okay, Bennifer 2.0. How do you feel about Bennifer?
I was so excited when it started, and now I want to fling my computer out a window.
Yeah, it's too much.
I just think they're doing too much for like how long they've been around. Like they're both iconic in their own ways. Now, Ben Affleck is triggering to me. I think he's like the guy in college who I would have been obsessed with, even though he's like objectively a terrible person. Like that's what he does for me. But I just don't need to be seeing him in the media this much. I'm like, bruh, like you won multiple Oscars. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And it's all very stagey because I do think on some level, of course, the paparazzi is going to chase after him, whatever.
Right.
But there are other times where they're walking red carpets talking and stuff like that. And as we know, they can go to these events without walking the red carpet and talking to press. So it's right. like, it feels like overkill. And I really turned when he did that Howard Stern interview about Jennifer Garner, and he like kind of threw her under the bus.
Was that recent?
It was recent. Yeah.
Okay.
And he threw her under the bus and it was like, what are you doing, dude? Like she literally helped you out even after you guys were broken up, and she's an angel by all accounts. So just shut your mouth about Jennifer Garner.
Shut the fuck up. He's literally like dragged her through the mud over the course of like 15 years. It's like, leave this woman alone. She just wants to like make bagels on her social and like read books to kids. Like she's such a sweetie.
Right. And there's that one paparazzi photo. Have you ever seen where she's driving Ben to
Rehab,
I believe. And they're going through a Jack in the Box drive through. And it's
she got him Jack in the Box.
She got him Jack in the Box. And they weren't even together at the time taking you to rehab. And it's like, dude, you should be only speaking good things about her, or just don't say anything at all.
Just shut the fuck up. Yeah.
And if somebody asks you, just say, oh, I love, she's the best. And then move on.
100%. There was a beautiful sliver of time where Scott Foley and Jennifer Garner were together. And I just think they were the it couple that not enough people knew about, but that we all deserved. Now, I'm sure that Scott Foley and his current wife are very, very happy. So yeah. No shade to them.
We don't know that.
But those Felicity era days of those two, I really love those photos of them together. Very cute.
Remember when she was at the Oscars in that blue dress? Like, no one has ever looked that stunning. Like, she looked sickening. So good that night.
Rachel Zoe styled her?
I don't know.
Rachel Zoe used to style Jennifer Garner, and like, she would always talk about on the show and be like, for Jen Garner, I'm just picturing this giant Van Cleef Arpels Magla.
You know, this is not related to that exactly, but I keep seeing people are posting about if Tyra Banks is America's Next Top Model was like still around, you know, in 2021, 2022, and like all the insane challenges.
Oh my God.
Tyra would make them do in like COVID era.
Oh, for sure. She'd be like, you're going to run through the streets of New York without a mask to get to a go-see to like see how badly you really want it. Like, so unhinged.
That show was such a mess, but I could only imagine like how Tyra would tackle like all the events going on, how she would have made the contestants do insane things throughout the course of 21 and 22.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Can I just say, sorry to derail this once again. I've been watching Ladies of London for the first time since it aired. I've never done a rewatch and it's like a soothing balm. But this morning I couldn't sleep from like 5 to like 6:30. So I was just watching Ladies of London. And you know, when you like wake up and go back to bed and your dreams are like extra weird. At least that's what happens to me.
Yeah.
I had a dream that Caroline Stanberry was my boss and she like liked me, but she had given me a bunch of tasks that I just like didn't do. And I woke up like with a start being like, oh my God, that was a dream. Cause I think taking time off work is, you know, we both know this. It's stressful for both of us. And like the fact that I'm not taking care of tasks for like 2 weeks is very weird to me.
I know. It stresses me out to like not have the routine.
Yeah.
I mean, even with this podcast, it's like, I don't have, why am I releasing this episode? But I got to release episodes.
You got to do it.
I mean, technically I have to for the ads. Moving on. The return of Ted Lasso. The return of Ted Lasso. So Cafe Mom thinks the return of Ted Lasso was an important pop culture moment of 2021. Do you watch? I'm not a huge Ted Lasso fan.
I don't watch it at all. And I don't care to.
It's enough.
Everyone's like, it's a really sweet show. I'm like, I'm sure it is. I don't want to watch it.
It was. I watched the first season.
I like fucked up shows. I like Yellow Jackets. Like, I like fucked up shit where I'm like, ooh, I can't believe they put that in a show. I don't want to watch Jason Sudeikis like dance affably like on a soccer field. I don't care.
I think it's just so earnest. And I like earnestness. But something about it hit me. And I don't even think it was actually the show that bothered me about it. I think it was just like the images of him dancing affably. Like a marketing image of him like just sort of like, oh shucks. I'm like, I don't know, it bugs me.
Yeah.
On me. That's on me and not you.
I mean, I think it's on them. I think it's on Ted Lasso. Like, and I said what I said. I love Juno Temple though. Yeah. I've loved her since Dirty John.
And I will say, I really liked that first season. Like, I thought
I hear
fun.
The first season's better than the second. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I just haven't watched the second season, but maybe we'll dive. Maybe I'll dive in. And then people yell at me because I have said mean things about Ted Lasso on the show and people love it. And I'm sorry. It's not him. It's the marketing. I don't like it.
You like what you like. You know what I mean?
Hannah, we got to take a quick break here. I want to tell everyone to go to everythingiconic.store for all Everything Iconic merch. And I want to thank Acast. We'll be right back. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I'm obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Okay, so Cafe Mom also wants us to talk about the Oprah interview with Meghan and Harry. That was a moment. That was a touchstone moment.
Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Never.
Fantastic TV. Never been done before.
Never been done before. Never will be done again. It was, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as a great time because it was a really disturbing interview in a lot of ways, but it had to be unearthed. Like, we had to talk about it. Now we said it.
Isn't it kind of funny that we live in the era where, you're right, it was a tough, disturbing, heavy interview about all these things that, you know, people had speculated on. And somehow out of that comes these memes and GIFs that are like used over and over again. And it seems to me, as someone who's on the internet a lot, it's like, the darker the thing, the more that it'll like catch on as a meme. And it's like, 100%. I keep thinking of that Oprah being like, were you silent or were you silenced? And it's like, people use that for everything. And I love seeing it. And I think it is important for us to laugh at the darkness. And I just think it's fascinating that our generation or the generations even after us, it's like, we are attracted to the darkness and to making light of the darkness.
Yes. I mean, even now, like with the holiday season, there's all these like COVID memes and GIFs going around that are so funny. And I'm like, of course it's all devastating and really upsetting, but I'm like, you gotta laugh to keep from crying all the time.
Right. Right. We gotta do it. And I think within the gay community, gays are often, we laugh at the super dark stuff. And I feel like, or any kind of group of people who have been through a traumatic experience, I feel like they have a darker sense of humor. Like if 100%. You grew up with an unstable household, or if you were a minority, or if you know, people who have been through more trauma, I think you just kind of have to laugh at this stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes other people think it's too dark, or, you know.
But I think it's so great, like content creators who make humor out of traumatic shit, because I think it also builds like community, because there will be so many people who are like, oh my God, I feel so seen by this. I feel less insane or less alone. And like, now we can laugh at our trauma together. I think it's great. I'm here for it.
Yeah, we support that. Speaking of trauma, Kardashians, there's lots of relationship drama. Chloe, with the Tristan stuff. Now, as of when this airs, I'm not sure where they'll be at, but it's like he's cheated a million times. She needs to get away from this man.
I don't follow the Kardashians at this point in my life, but it's annoying that like I don't get to decide whether or not I know about Chloe and Tristan. Right. Like, it's just sort of always in the zeitgeist somehow. And I'm like, 1-800, I don't care. I don't care. Like, be together or don't. I just don't want to fucking hear about it anymore. I don't care. And as far as Kim and Pete Davidson, I'm sure that Pete Davidson is an amazing lover. I think that's why he pulls just so many stunning women. And if they want to date, sure. I think it's a PR stunt 100%. But again, do I really care one way or the other? Absolutely not.
I'm fascinated by the PR, because there were these photos of Kim and Pete at the movie theaters in Staten Island.
Yeah.
And
maskless.
I didn't even notice.
Yes.
Yeah. But they were in, and now it's like Dumois has sort of replaced paparazzi now.
Yes.
And so I think it is harder for me to spot at least like what's a PR move and what's like an actual, somebody was at that movie theater snapping photos of them. Do you get what I mean? Because 100%. Now it's so easy for someone's PR person or someone's who works for their team to go with them to the movie theater and snap those photos and send them to Dumois.
Right. And be like, spotted Kim and Pete.
And then even some of those Dumois things, it's like you read them and it's so clearly written by a PR person who wrote it in. Mm-hmm. But then there's also ones that are, you know, you can't tell which is which, and we got to be the better consumers. But I think the line now has become blurred even more.
Yeah.
I also feel like celebrities must be so pissed, because I think they thought they got rid of all the paparazzi stuff, and now everyone wants to send in their photos to Dumois.
Now everyone's paparazzi. It's literally like Gossip Girl. I mean, I've sent two items into Dumois that made it that made the cut, not photos, but just like saw so-and-so, Anand, please. And look, it was gratifying to be like, ooh, I have to send this to Duh. I saw Sean Hayes at a bagel shop. And he was like being super sweet and letting everyone pet his dog and like just, you know, cute shit. And then one time I was at Tower Bar and I saw Sarah Paulson, Beanie Feldstein, and Monica Lewinsky. And I was like, obviously, what? I'm telling Dumois about this. Yeah, because they were doing like an impeachment like panel.
Interesting.
For their Ryan Murphy show. And literally, I just saw like an eccentric tall blonde lady, like an eccentrically dressed tall blonde lady. I was like, that's Sarah Paulson. And then I was like, oh shit, that's Beanie and Monica.
I watched the first episode of that and I stopped. Going back to Sean Hayes, I started listening to his podcast, Smartless.
Smartless?
Yes. Because, you know, I don't listen to any, like, I don't want to listen to any Bravo podcast or anything just because I don't want to subconsciously take anything from all the brilliant podcasters and stuff.
Yes.
But I do like a celebrity interview podcast. And I started to listen to Smartless. And at first, I really hated it. Like, they bothered the shit out of me because it's three hosts. It's Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes.
That's where I'm at. I can't really get behind it.
It's frustrating when they have a guest you really love. And I get it. But they have a guest you'll really love. And it's like, they're just doing their bits. And I'm like, stop doing their bits. Like, I'm trying to listen to Sandra Bullock.
Or they'll talk about like, you know, oh, that one party we were all at. Remember that? Oh, and they're like ribbing each other and talking about inside jokes. And I'm like, excuse me. Also, I think that Will Arnett and Jason Bateman steamroll Sean Hayes too much. I think Sean Hayes is like,
that's
actually
what I was
like,
gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I did my research. I'm actually not friends with this person and I want to interview them. And they're like, ooh. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Right. Right.
Sorry.
And it is. Talk. No. I was just going to say the same thing. And I do think it's a hard balance because I know when I do interviews on this show, you always get, somebody's always complaining. Like if you do an interview, they're like, oh no, we want the recap. Stop doing that. And then some people who just listen to interviews will be like, stop. Why do you do the recaps? We only want the interviews. So I get like, they want it to be their show. So they don't want people to tune in just for the guests, but I tune in just for the guests. Anyway, Sean does this thing though, that makes me laugh where he always, I'm going to screw it up. So this isn't going to be as funny as when he does it, but he always goes 5, 6, 7, 8. And he always does this bit where he's like about to start performing and he'll do the countdown.
Cute.
And it always makes me like 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, gotta love ISU alum and eternal theater kid, Sean Hayes.
I know. I like him a lot. I like Sean Hayes. And I mean, what a talent. What a talent.
And he was so nice to me at the bagel shop. We were like waiting next to each other for our bagels. And he was like, are you like, he was just very polite and like conscientious of like the space he and his dog were taking up.
Right. Are you someone who like goes in for a picture or if you see a celebrity, you just say hello?
I just say hello, but that's like after living in LA for a while. In Chicago, I was the exact opposite. I'd be like, someone's at this place. I'm going to show up and get a picture and talk with, like, it was pretty psychotic. And now I'm like, oh, I would never invade someone's personal space like that. I try to play it cool. And sometimes I can't. Like, if I'm excited enough about the person, I'll be like, one time I waited on Constance Zimmer, and I'm like a huge Constance Zimmer fan. And I waited until she was like fully closed out, didn't have to talk to me again, to be like, I just want to say, like, you're literally in like my top five favorite actresses of all time. Like, I want to be you.
I love, of all people, you chose character actress Constance Zimmer. Like the eighth lead from Entourage.
I'm obsessed with her. And she was like, oh, wow, thanks. She was really nice. But I think it was still probably pretty annoying. Not based on her behavior, but it reflecting. Like, I probably should have just left her the fuck alone.
She's super talented. Yeah, I tend to like get nuts when it's like an obscure or weird celebrity. Like, so for instance, Tori Spelling, like when I threw everyone out of the way and was like, Tori, what's going on with Jenny Garth and Tiffany Thiessen? Like, I'm just shouting from a distance.
Fair.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then if it's someone really big, I'm like, I don't give a fuck about them.
If I saw Leo DiCaprio, I wouldn't bat an eye.
Oh my God, Hannah. I was just in a YouTube spiral and I saw an interview that Leo did for a press junket for The Beach. And to me, that was peak Leo. Like, I loved The Beach, Leo. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people think Titanic. What do you think is peak Leo?
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, I love that movie.
Me too.
My favorite Spielberg movie is Catch Me If You Can.
So good. The score is so good too.
Would you have sex with him then?
And Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah. When would you ever sleep? You're not a Leo fan.
I'm really not. Wow. I've never been a Leo gal. Wow. And that's a wrap on
Breaking
me.
Breaking news.
And I'm not really a Brad Pitt girl either.
What?
But Ben Affleck.
Oh my God, Hannah, we need a...
I'm not proud.
This is not okay. I mean, Ben Affleck's got a huge dick, so maybe that's what it
pre,
is.
Pre-Phoenix tattoo, that. I would bang Ben Affleck. The tattoo really ruins him.
Oh my God, did you just hear that bang? I thought we were in the Big Bang or something. Like what? Oh my God, did Mike pick that up? That just scared the shit out of me. My heart is racing.
Are you okay?
There's something's going to fall through the ceiling. This might be it for us.
Anyway, this was really fun. Sorry, what's next on Cafe Mom's
list? The Big Bang. The Big Bang. An asteroid's coming to my apartment.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wait, but I didn't finish my thought. Oh,
sorry.
The beach version of Leo DiCaprio to me was just the hottest. And he had this weird sort of facial hair goatee thing happening that I didn't love. Mm-hmm. But man, I would've...
Wait, you saw an interview about the beach? Did he say it was anything like a, of it note? Was,
I wasn't listening. I was looking at him. No. I found this weird YouTube channel. It's a guy who did press junkets in the 90s. And I think he's just like a local interviewer, like from another state. It's not like Entertainment Tonight or something. Mm-hmm. It's like just, you know, how they send reporters from all over the country, or at least they used to pre-COVID times. And they usually only give people at those press junkets about like 5 minute things. And so he uploaded all of these ones from the 90s, and I somehow ended up on his channel, and there's just like so many, and it's like, it goes up to 99, I think. So it's like Julia Roberts and Aaron Brockovich is like the most recent, but then it's like Whitney Houston and the Preacher's Wife, four minute interview. And then it's like, the Batman and Robin cast. And it's just the most bizarre. And I was like so fascinated by it. I'll send you a link to it.
Yeah.
And he does not ask good questions. So it's clear why he was never hired on something like
Entertainment Tonight. Does that ever piss you off though? Like sometimes like when see like really bad interviewers on YouTube being like, and I'm here with Noah Centineo. Noah, what was it like memorizing all those lines for To All the Boys I've Loved Before? And I'm like, fuck you. Like, how did you get this job? How'd you get this opportunity? Why are you asking the dumbest questions in the world?
I know. Ugh. Or that you could tell they don't like the person. I will say.
They don't care.
I will say those junkets are really awful oftentimes because they do only give you a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And usually like when because I've done a few for Everything Iconic and I don't love them because you get 4 minute increments. And I finally was like, I'm not going to do a 4 minute thing because you can't get anywhere with someone.
No.
But also I think when you come from like, if a news station sends their entertainment reporter out to do it, mm-hmm. it's like the news only wants that soundbite that's going to play for people who like don't know the person.
Right.
So that's why they ask those like so basic questions because it's like, they just need the audience of the 6 o'clock news to like hear this story or something.
Be like, oh, so that's how Noah Centineo memorizes those lines.
Yeah. So like, whereas you and I would go to Noah Centineo and be like, tell us about the leaked videos of your schlong. You know, like
my brain went there too before you even finished that sentence.
Yeah. But like an entertainment reporter in Ohio, they can't air that on the local news. So
that sucks because that's the information that people want to know.
Yeah, I don't like it's like a 4 minute. Now they do them on Zoom too. And so there's people like in the Zoom chat being like, wrap it up. And you're like, wait, we just said hello. And you're like, we got to end this already.
Awful.
Yeah, it's stressful. I'll do it though. If it's like a big, you know, I did it for Allison Janney. Cause I was like, I got to talk to Allison Janney.
Yeah.
But then it was like this movie she did. And it was like, I just want to talk about Drop Dead Gorgeous. Like I have 4 minutes with this woman. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about that. And so then 100%. They don't end up getting any promo.
That's hilarious.
Okay, what else? Peloton had a year. Peloton had quite a year with And Just Like That. And I felt bad for Peloton, actually. Like, they did. And Just Like That, apparently, they didn't know that Big was going to die on the Peloton. All that bad press. Then they turn around this commercial in record time.
Great commercial.
Fantastic commercial. Then all this news about Chris Noth.
Yeah.
Noth.
I think it's Noth.
I mean, how awful for Peloton.
Yeah. Peloton can't catch a fucking break. Do you have a Peloton?
I do. And I love my Peloton.
I don't have a Peloton, but my older sister like rides hard, no pun intended, for her Peloton.
I was really into it. And now I basically use it to dry laundry, but Matt uses it every single day. just at the moment, I haven't quite gotten it. In the new year, I'm going to get back on board. But I was obsessed with Cody Rigsby, who was on Dancing with the Stars and like a big hit.
Oh my gosh, everyone loves him.
Yeah, I like him because he's a gay man, so he plays a gay playlist. I don't believe that straight men should be allowed to playlist anything in workouts. Like, they're terrible.
I completely agree. It's like, I don't want to hear, we've talked about this, like the pop remix of like Nickelback's With Arms Wide Open. Or is that Creed?
That's Creed. Hannah, how dare you mistake the two? With arms wide open.
With arms
wide open. What was their other song? Didn't they have another one?
This is how you That's remind Nickelback me
of who I really am.
How do you know the difference?
Okay, I like, this is embarrassing. I'm only going to share this because, you know, it's the new year.
New year, new you.
First of all, I really did like Creed. And I liked Nickelback even more. I went through this phase in college where I was like, I was listening. This is so embarrassing. I was like a big Daughtry fan.
The way my jaw just dropped.
It was pre me coming in the closet. Like, it was right. They basically pushed me out of the closet because I think like I listened to it so much and I was like, I can't do this. And then I came out of the closet.
Leapt out of the closet.
I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I was really into Nickelback and Creed and Daughtry. And I was like, this is it. But they had that song Photograph. Remember that song?
It was look like, at this photograph.
Every time I do it, makes me laugh. We're doing Cher.
It, for me, it always goes to a place of Cher when I try to do Nickelback and Creed.
Wagon wheel Watusi.
Wait,
in a full circle moment, Nickelback sings about Cher in that song about being a rock star.
I'm gonna hurt him.
My favorite lyric in that song is now I gotta remember it. It's like I'll have the quesadilla. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
No, but that line just makes me, no, nothing against quesadillas, but like the fact that they wrote that line into their song just like makes me fucking annoyed by them even more.
Wait, it's truly the funniest thing because that song is all about being like a badass rock star.
And I'm gonna be a rock star.
I'm through with standing in lines. The clubs will never get in. It's like the bot. Wait, we got to find the Cher lyric. And then I just have to. Oh,
and the quesadilla lyric.
He sings, I want a new tour. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. My own star on the Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine with me. Okay, so that's the Cher line.
Wow, he has high hopes for his Hollywood star that he doesn't deserve.
This is the greatest line, though, in the history of pop rock music. I want to be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free. And then he sings, I'll have the quesadilla.
I have no words.
I'll have the quesadilla. Whenever I order a quesadilla at a Chili's, I'm always thinking of Nickelback.
I mean, yeah, how could you not?
And I say, I'll have the quesadilla. I'm sorry. Okay. So Peloton, we like a Peloton. Cafe Mom, let's run through the rest of these really quickly. JoJo Siwa comes out. I'm glad she out loud and proud on Dancing with the Stars. Woo! First lesbian dancer.
Love.
Good for her.
Good for JoJo.
Bridgerton. Did you watch Bridgerton?
I did.
That feels like another lifetime ago.
Does it not? It really does.
And the other, wait, this other one too is Bernie Sanders becomes a meme. Was that really this year? Wasn't Bernie Sanders with the fucking mittens?
I think it was at the inauguration, right?
Yeah, was that? I don't even know time. That happened this year, didn't it?
It's just hard to like separate everything, like inauguration versus insurrection versus COVID versus, you know.
Wow, we're getting dark here, aren't we?
There's just a lot of fucked up things that happened in 2021.
And the 2020. Probably coming in 2022. Buckle up, kids.
Yeah, buckle up. but Bernie becoming a meme was a silver lining.
That felt like a lifetime ago to me.
I thought people went a little too far with the Bernie memes. I think people were like, this is hilarious. I'm like, calm down.
It always is troubling to me when the meme becomes a discussion on The View, because, you know, I watch The View every day, and yes. I'll never forget. They spent like, I want to say like 15 minutes on that. And it was like, okay, like, I love The View, but I don't need to see Joy and company talking about the Bernie Sanders meme for 15 minutes.
How much is there to say about it? Like, it was funny the first time. Then everyone was like, look where Bernie is now. He's in front of the Eiffel Tower. It's like, I've had enough.
Yeah. The memes, sometimes they'll go, it'll be popular and then it'll get too popular. And then it almost comes back around where it's like so popular yes. that it becomes funny to me again.
Yes. But
that's the cycle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cafe Mom also has thoughts about the Free Britney movement. I think we're also happy that Britney is free and we want the best for her.
Thrilled for Britney.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just hope she posts some like holiday content. I really, you know what I'm curious about? And this is not me telling Britney how to live her life, so don't at me. But like, I do wonder if she's going to like hire a stylist or like hire like, you know, go the Hollywood route now that she like can actually spend her money. Like, I'm interested to see where she wants to spend her money.
Right.
What matters to her. And I think
she alluded to that, like maybe doing an Oprah interview. And I want to see that. Like, I want it so bad.
Oprah's the only one who can do it. I hope that this time next year, we're reflecting on Cafe Mom's list of the Oprah Britney interview.
Were you in a conservatorship or were you conserved? Like, that's what it's going to be like. Oprah's
yes. Line. Give us the soundbite.
What's your favorite Britney song?
Oh my gosh. It's really hard to say, but I love Stronger. I think that's like a song that is just, I've been obsessed with it since it came out.
I mean, just her with that chair. It's just so good.
So fucking good.
Did you watch the Friends reunion? Cafe Mom wants to know.
I did. Did
and
you?
What'd you think? I did. I liked it. I liked it.
I'm not like a Friends person per se, but I didn't expect to get as emotional as I did. And I got a little verklempt watching them all walk onto that set. It was sweet. Yeah.
You know, I'm happy they're finding new ways to do reunions because they also did the Harry Potter one, which I haven't watched yet, but they had the cast coming together and talking about the stuff. And I'm happy to have them just sit and chat about stuff.
Yes. That's I think enough with James fucking Corden. I mean, if I could give one note, it would be we don't need James Corden to literally host everything.
I know.
You know, might I suggest one Danny Pellegrino for
I'm available.
Yeah. Call
me and coach when the nanny wants to do their reunion. Give me a call.
Come on.
The final thing on Cafe Mom was in Just Like That, which
I feel like that just happened.
It just happened as of this recording.
How are you feeling about it so far?
I like it. I do. I know that's unpopular.
Fun?
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of it's a mess, but I think there's more good than bad. I don't love what they're doing with the Miranda character. I find it like weird.
So weird.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have talked about the alcohol storyline, which has just been so like, so obvious from the beginning. And they're doing too much with it. It's like,
has it been so obvious from the beginning? Did I miss
you
something?
Haven't noticed. Yeah, I feel like every scene they're like, Miranda's drinking again. And we see her with the bottle and she's ordering a wine and everything. And it's like, okay, right. We get it. She's going to be an alcoholic. We get it.
I know. I don't know. I like the thing is I'm not going to say that I'm someone who's like had all the Sex and the City box sets since the dawn of time. I've like caught episodes on E and I was like excited when the movies would come out. But like,
okay, hold up, Hannah, though. You need to like watch it. Like the real versions, the E versions are not as good.
I know. I know. Look, I live under a rock in some ways. It's weird. It's like, I love pop culture. And then I have these like major blind spots, like Sex and the City and Ted Lasso. I always enjoy watching.
Because you're rewatching Ladies of London at 5 a.m. when you wake up instead of obviously.
Listen, I have a lot to say about that. Okay. I have so much to say about that. I'll always enjoy watching this combination of women. And I like, you know, the aesthetic of Sex and the City and stuff. But I do. I just think there's a lot more darkness in Just Like That than I was expecting. I'm like, this isn't what I signed up for, but I will keep watching. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you watch Sex Lives of College Girls?
Yes. I'm like, I'm three episodes in.
So good.
I'm going to get caught up because I'm loving it so far. But
so good. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Yeah. Which it was surprising to me because I don't always love Mindy Kaling stuff, to be honest with you. I shouldn't say that. I always want to like it more than I do. Like, I'll even the Mindy project, I'm like, I felt like I wanted to like it more than I did. And same with Never Have I Ever. Like the first season I enjoyed, and then it was like, I don't know, something.
Second season did slow down a little bit.
And maybe I just have too high expectations because I love her writing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I need to adjust. But Sex Lives of College Girls, I'm like obsessed with so far.
So good.
Hannah, thank you so much for coming on and doing this little recap. I want to remind listeners that I'll be back later this week with Real Housewives recap. So don't fret, little bear. And Hannah, I want to let you talk about whatever you want to plug in your show. You have a Gossip Girl recap podcast.
Yes, Danny, thank you so much for having me. It's always such a joy. And shout out to Cafe Mom. Thanks for coming up with that list for us to talk about.
If that Cafe Mom out there is out there listening, we love you.
Thank you. We love you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I do co-host a Gossip Girl podcast called You Know You Love Us. I co-host it with my dear friend Tyler Meredith. It's super fun. And
you guys are so funny. And if anyone has watched Gossip Girl, they have to listen to this show because it's so good.
Thank you. Yeah, we recap. We're recapping like the current iteration of it, but we also are recapping like the OG. And then sometimes we'll have guests on. Danny, you've been on the show. So there's a little bit of everything for everyone. And I hope you all listen to it. And if you do, that you like it.
And you guys had Betty Hu on recently.
We had Betty Hu on. We had Amara Zaragoza, who played Poppy Lifton on the show. We had Nicole Fasella, who played Isabel on the show.
Gossip Girl fans maybe need to get on board.
Yeah. Yeah, really good, really good times. And then if you want to follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown Zero on TikTok.
Yes, and I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm recapping Sex in the City over on Patreon. So if you want to support, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. I want to thank Acast for all episodes of Everything Iconic. Go to acast.com/everythingiconic. I love you all so much for listening. Happy New Year, and we'll be back later this week. So stay tuned. Like and subscribe and follow the podcast so you get all new episodes. And I love you all so much. All right, Hannah, I love you. Okay,
I love you. Bye.